You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hey, everybody. It's Qué Golazo time. And our weekend recap, we discussed the tight race in Germany as the Bundesliga heats up. We also discussed Serie A, La Liga, as Atletico Madrid leads still with three games in hand. But Barcelona is coming back. And of course, everything that you wanted to know about the FA Cup. We have Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce. Weekend recap. Qué Golazo begins right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Qué Golazo, our weekend recap. Heath Pierce, Jimmy Conrad. Heath, I'll start with you. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing very good. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just doing very good. It's a good day, good weather this weekend. Life's good.
Well, that is so great to hear. And Jimmy Conrad, I presume you have the same energy as always.
As Heath once famously said, my positivity brings him down. I'm going to try to over-positive Heath Pierce here and his wonderful mustache. If you guys can't see, you're missing out because it is something special.
It is beautiful. I have some real Magnum PI here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, Heath Pierce. Well done. Keep it, please.
Bigote o muerte. That's what they say.
I love it, and I want that on a T-shirt. Welcome, everybody, to Qué Golazo Pod, our weekend recap. Of course, Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce, and we're going to break down all the action of the weekend, which includes, of course, the FA Cup, Serie A, La Liga, et cetera, et cetera. But we begin with the Bundesliga. Yes, we want to show some love to the German top league because the race, it is super tight. After Bayern Munich loses to Borussia Mönchengladbach, were 2-0 down, and then they came back to win it 3-2. Borussia Dortmund, with Erling Haaland fully back, they win really convincingly against RB Leipzig. Leverkusen drops points against Werder Bremen, meaning that the title race in the Bundesliga is crazy tight, boys. You got Bayern Munich with 33 points, Leipzig with 31 points, Leverkusen with 29 points, and Dortmund with 28, all having played 15 games. Jimmy Conrad, let's begin with you. This is a good, fun race. How do you see it? Any talking points from any of those matches or anything that we saw in Germany?
Well, I want to start first and foremost that we had a 19-year-old American score a hat trick for Schalke, their first win in 361 days in the league. It's unbelievable. He scored a hat trick. Matthew Hoppe's his name. He has only played 5 professional games. So for him to have this type of performance for a club that has obviously a rich history and was desperately looking for a win was nothing short of incredible. Amin Harit, I think that's how you say it. Harit, their number 10 for Schalke, was fantastic as well. He had a goal and 3 assists. So really special performance from him. I wanted to give him a shout out right off the top because from an American perspective, we might have a new number nine at our disposal. And we're looking for strikers that are consistent. So he's putting his name in the hat. There's something to unpack, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But I am really surprised that Bayern Munich, with a 2-0 lead, dropped 3 consecutive goals to Borussia Mönchengladbach, who were without Marcus Thuram, who's been suspended. And so I kind of look at Niklas Süle here from a defensive perspective. He tried to hold a high line when he didn't need to. He's given bad balls away that led to goals. I mean, fair play to Mönchengladbach for absolutely punishing them for those mistakes. But really, unlike Bayern in so many different ways, again, showing their vulnerability out of the back, whether it's defensively or playing out of the back. So I don't know. I don't know what to take from that. I'm a Niklas Süle fan, but I just didn't think he had a good game. And now, as you said, it opens things up. And Borussia Dortmund, I think, is the team that are going to take the biggest advantage because they're the only team in the top 6 that actually won this past weekend. So that's going to give them a lot of confidence. Erling Haaland obviously scoring goals. Jadon Sancho now got 2 goals in 2 consecutive games. Maybe he's starting to round into form. So I'd watch out for Dortmund right now. Really disappointed with Leipzig, I'd say, with their performance. It was a big one for them, and they couldn't unlock Dortmund in any way. But yeah, those are the big storylines for me.
Yeah, well done there, Jimmy Conrad. Heath Pierce, you know this league very well, of course. How did you see it this weekend? We talk about how good Bayern is, obviously, but we have also talked about that every now and again, they show their vulnerabilities, and you saw it this weekend. How did you see it this weekend?
Yeah, Jimmy's been spot on so far in this season, in the sense that Bayern have had these constant wake-up calls going behind, right? And this time they went up and had an inability to keep that lead. They shut off a little bit. Yeah, it was individual mistakes. But, you know, again, the theme for me was Gladbach winning the ball high up the field and in dangerous positions, similar to the way that Dortmund are playing as well. Dortmund, to me, are the team now that Favre had them pressing somewhere around the half line, a little over the half line. Now they're pressing high and they're winning the ball in high spots. So everything was coming in transition and fast. And with Haaland back, it really springboards this attack. And when you look at Haaland and you look at Reyna and you look at Sancho and you look at Royce, when they're on the way that they were this weekend against RB Leipzig, and winning in Leipzig is not easy, even regardless of fans in the stadium. They are one of the best four or attacking four in the world when they are on, and to watch them play like that was really impressive. I also want to point out, by the way, in the Schalke game, it's really sad to see them down in the relegation zone. The thing that Matthew Hoppe did that saved them from is if they had lost that or didn't win that game, they would have tied an all-time record from Tasmania Berlin, which would have been 31 games without a win going back to 1965-66 season, which obviously would have been, I think, Western Germany, or perhaps that was the Eastern German League. But yeah, it was a huge performance for a 19-year-old. I also want to put it into perspective that had this happened a couple years ago, he would have been our hope. And now you look at it, and again, I keep trying to harp on this. The pipeline of players now, he's not going to have the attention that, like, if he had a hat trick 10 years ago, he would have failed us in his career. There's no way he could have lived up to the expectation at 19 years old that we would have put on him in the U.S. But now he's spread out across all these players playing in all the big five leagues in Europe, and it just gives us another thing to be excited about. We're not putting everything on him to win the 2010 World Cup, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. It's a really good point that, you know, there's so much talent everywhere that it's like, it's a great story, but like, it's just one of many. Just one point about the Bundesliga, boys. Jimmy, I'll go back to you and then Heath, your thoughts. You know, it's incredible. I know we've said it a lot, but Erling Haaland is just ridiculous. Like, it's honestly amazing. His first goal, I want everybody to just go back and see. I mean, it was beautiful teamwork, but he started it off because he's so big and strong, but his footwork, like, it's like Romario-esque. Like, he's just so quick. And that's really scary for everybody else about Borussia Dortmund. So now, to me, the balance in the Bundesliga is like, look at Dortmund, everybody. After next week, when they play Mainz, though, that's when you're going to see some real challenges. You know, they play Mönchengladbach, and then after that they have, well, they got Augsburg after that, but then, you know, there's other games that include, I believe, do they play Bayern again later in the season or no?
Yeah, they'll play them one more time.
Well, so there's going to be a few more challenges for them, but I feel at the turn of this year now, Borussia Dortmund is the team that is doing some good things. I know we always say it, and then Bayern suddenly wakes up once again. But what would you say to now the title race in the Bundesliga, Jimmy Conrad and Heath, after you? Like, is it still Bayern's? Have they shown enough vulnerabilities to maybe say that somebody else? What do you think?
I mean, come on. This is Bayern Munich's league to lose, even though they did drop the points against Borussia Mönchengladbach. There is something going on with the team, whether they're going down in games, whether they're relaxing. They had chances to put Borussia Mönchengladbach away. They didn't. They're making silly mistakes, things that I think are easily correctable. It's one thing if, for me, when you look at Borussia Dortmund, if you take Erling Haaland out of that team, they're not the same. You take Lewandowski, obviously, out of Bayern, they still have other options, and they still wouldn't be the same. But they got other ways to hurt you. I really feel like Erling Haaland does unlock a lot of things, and it opens up space for other players. Jadon Sancho is now taking advantage of that. I saw something Erling Haaland did, and this is so in the weeds, but for people that love the game, on the first goal for Jadon Sancho against RB Leipzig, It's a throw-in on the sideline, okay, for Dortmund. He waits. It's just a simple throw-in by midfield, and he bodies the guy, rolls the outside back, and then that's what unlocks the whole thing. He's now running at the back line. Somebody has to slide over, and then he slots it across. Jadon Sancho makes a great run, but it's all these little things that Erling Haaland does that's now creating space for everybody else. If he stays healthy, then I think Dortmund have a chance, but I think over the course of, you know, I don't know, the next 5 or 6 months, I just don't see Bayern dropping points. It's just due to a lack of concentration for them. It's not talent at all. I think Hansi Flick knows what he has at his disposal, and I think they're going to turn it on when it matters. They do play Dortmund. Excuse me, Bayern do play Dortmund one more time. It's at the Allianz in Munich, so they have some advantage there. Maybe the only thing that could throw off Bayern at this point is if they are just so concentrated on winning the Champions League again that they're trying to throw everything into that to be repeat champions, to something to that effect. Because if Dortmund get knocked out or whatever it may be, you know, maybe they can then focus on the league. I don't know. I don't know if Dortmund has enough to consistently be as good as Bayern, but if Bayern are going to continue to slip up, I they're still the favorites for me. Maybe Heath feels otherwise.
Well, Heath, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with that. You need Sancho to play like he did this game for every game for the rest of the season.
Sure.
Otherwise you need Haaland on the field for every game for the rest of the season. Then I think you have your chance, because again, that opens up the field when Reyna and Sancho switch sides, just the dynamic movement between them, it just changes things, and it allows Royce to be a much more effective player than having to do a lot more. But again, even like second goal aside, all of the footwork that he had setting up the play and then being able to finish it on the back post, the first one was just as important. Like Jimmy said, he explodes with the ball. And as soon as he takes off, everyone around him knows, get in the box and go. And granted, it's a great ball across. Royce does a nice little flick to put Sancho on the back post. But that speed of the game when he's on and they're pressing high changes everything. You know, when they were sitting back, they had so much more ground to cover under Favre when they started to sit back a little bit deeper in their press. When they press high like that, that explosive movement. But again, they have to be able to do that every single game. And we've already seen a dip in their form. We've seen a dip in Sancho's form. Obviously, I think a lot of that pressure came from this big move to Manchester United that didn't happen. Hopefully, he's settled back in, and we're going to see that for the rest of the year. Because, again, we came out of this sort of crunch of games going, oh, man, the big teams are all in a place to win this. And now we're starting to see that tighten up again, or at least a changing of the conversation, which I'd like to see.
Yeah, let's not forget as well Alex Witzel's injury, torn Achilles tendon, out for several months. We don't even know if he'll make the European Championships. It's a shame for Borussia Dortmund. You know, quite a big loss right in the middle of the park.
Yeah, no question. I would also add that Marco Royce usually only stays healthy for about 3 weeks at a time. So despite him playing well at the moment, if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, that will make a big difference. And to Heath's point, the higher he plays up the field, the more he can work his magic and really start to connect all the dots with Erling Haaland and Sancho and Reyna. I mean, these are good problems to have for Dortmund. And yes, playing higher up the field has made such a big difference for them, especially because you probably don't even have to change your pressuring system so much, right? You can still probably use what Favre was put in place. Just go up 20 yards higher up the field. And it's obviously paying dividends at the moment. RB Leipzig didn't have any answers. I think Leipzig will still have some questions to answer of these big clubs as well. I think they're going to be competitive until the very end. Bayer Leverkusen, I think, are going to be there too. They're one of my favorites to potentially win the Europa League. They're super talented, so we'll see if they can manage multiple competitions. But when you think about depth, you think about concentration, and you think about experience, Bayern Munich just ticks all those boxes. And so this is their league to lose, obviously, and we'll see if they find a way to do that. I'd be surprised. Dortmund usually stutters there at the end, but you never know.
Okay, so you're staying with Bayern Munich to win it.
100%.
Heath?
I'm staying with Bayern Munich.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to be boring. Move.
but I will say that I'm going to follow Dortmund intently with hopes that I am wrong. I would love to be wrong. I will follow them intently.
Oh, of course we'd love to be wrong.
They're so fun to watch. But yeah, sometimes you got to follow logic.
Yeah, yeah. The key calendar period, by the way, would be the last week of February, the beginning of March, when they play each other, and there's also the Champions League as well. So that should be very interesting to see. All right, when we return, a very quick break, when we return, the FA Cup, the magic of the FA Cup third round. Stay right here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Got Lasso, Heath Pierce, Jimmy Conrad. We talk now the FA Cup third round, the magic of the FA Cup third round, where the big boys, the Goliaths, usually play against smaller opposition. That would be the same case if Newcastle played Arsenal as well, right, Jimmy? It's the same thing.
Oh, my God.
The Giants of Arsenal. Soon. Look, if you can't see this, I got Arteta pinned on my wall with a jersey, match-worn jersey, because he's the man.
Oh, too funny. But the third round is always an interesting one, as you see, of course, so many interesting matchups. I mean, I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'll just briefly mention a few, and I'd like to see some of the takeaways from Heath and Jimmy. Of course, we remember from Friday, Crystal Palace loses to Wolves. Liverpool beats Aston Villa's under nines. And then later on in the weekend, of course, we had, what else did we have? A few good games as well. Leeds United losing to Crawley Town 3-0. Brentford beating Middlesbrough. Arsenal beating Newcastle 2-0. It took them to extra time, but it happened. Leicester City beating Stoke. So many. And Manchester United, Watford as well. So let's just break down some of the takeaways. Jimmy, let's begin with you. Any takeaways from the FA Cup third round? It's always a fun one. Of course, I didn't even mention the historic one where Tottenham faced Marine, which is the biggest gap in terms of a mismatch. You know, eighth tier Marine playing against Tottenham and Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, I mean, Vinicius and Dele Alli look good. Lucas look, I mean, pretty much all of Tottenham look good. They had a 16-year-old score for them as well, but Vinicius had a hat trick, so fair play to him. Marine, congratulations. There's a bigger conversation, I think, to be had at that division, because right now they're talking about non-league teams not having their seasons not count for two consecutive years, and that's a lot of hair is going up. A lot of people are upset about that, and they should be, because all of these players have been putting themselves at risk to play, you know, during all of this stuff that's going on with COVID, and now their season's not going to count. So there's a lot to unpack there, but let's just talk about the positives, and that's not Newcastle in the FA Cup third round. So here are some of the things that I thought were of note. I have them on my post-its here.
Love it.
That's why, hence the phrase of note, Jimmy.
So Kai Havertz and Timo Werner both scored for Chelsea. And yes, you can say whatever, and the competition isn't great, but when you're under that type of pressure, like those two guys are in particular, hitting the back of the net, Kai Havertz had an assist as well on Werner's goal. It doesn't matter. As long as you kind of have that feeling and kind of re-engage with that, what that means and the pressure that that takes off. Because yes, you finally did it. You scored. People will get off your back for at least a game. And I think that's going to be very helpful for Chelsea moving forward. Scott McTominay, I thought, was very good for Manchester United, scored the winner against, and he was the captain also in Manchester United's win over Watford. The big storyline from that game for me was Donny van de Beek, who hasn't started a game for Manchester United. They paid $40 million from Ajax. He's a fantastic player. And if you guys can see the highlights of this, He's got this little 1-2, this little cheeky back heel to Juan Mata to unlock the defense, and it was sick. And I don't know how he can't get into the team. I mean, he must be balling these guys up in training day in and day out, but yet they can't find a place for him. And yes, I know that Fred and McTominay are kind of doing the dirty work for the team, and that's allowing them to get results, and it's hard to break that up. But still, Donnie Van de Beek needs to get on the field somehow in some way and get more minutes. Ronald de Boer, a famous Dutch player, came out and said that he needs to either leave the club or play more. Otherwise, he's wasting his time at Manchester United. So there's definitely some drama there from Ole Gunnar to figure out. Another thing that I have, I don't want to talk about the Arsenal-Newcastle game. I'm mad at Andy Carroll for missing a sitter. That's all I'm going to say there. Leeds lost 3-0 to Crawley. They got out-leedsed by another team. Somebody came at them with a ton of confidence, played their style, scored, you know, a couple fortunate goals, but still, that's interesting. I think a bit of an embarrassment for Marcelo Bielsa. It's one thing to get slammed 6-2 by Manchester United, but to get beat by a team that you shouldn't lose to is something different. And then outside of that, I thought Manchester City were excellent in their game against Birmingham. Bernardo Silva scored an absolute cracker of a volley 7 minutes in. They were up 3-0, I think, after 30 minutes. The way they're playing right now would make me nervous for everybody else in the Premier League and even the Champions League. I think Man City are on something special right now, and that was my big takeaway.
Yeah, I agree. Well done there. By the way, side note on the Crawley Town win, Mark Wright gave a cameo. And if you don't know, Google him. He's a personality, a reporter. He was in the famous reality show, The Only Way is Essex. So a reality show personality.
Isn't that insulting to like bring that guy on against Leeds? I feel like that's insulting to Bielsa and Leeds to like, hey, we're up 3-0 on these guys. Let's just dunk in there. Let's flex on these guys and throw some reality star on the field. That just seems ridiculous.
Normally, I would agree with you, but this is a League Two side who's just like waiting to have their moment. And to be honest with you, like, come on. If you can't beat Crawley Town and you're losing 3-0, we're going to bring on This Is Essex star to see what, anyways.
When I was reading about that, by the way, it was they've signed him to a non-contract contract, essentially.
Yeah, extra embarrassing for Leeds United, I think. All right, Heath, how about you? Any takeaways? I mean, I know that you want to talk about Arsenal, Newcastle.
Yeah, look, I think Arsenal should have lost in regular time. Obviously, Jimmy said it right. Andy Carroll had not one, but two good looks in regular time. But Arsenal go through. And also, I want to point out that Jimmy had a lot of notes. That was a lot of notes.
That was a lot of notes, actually.
I don't know why I'm even here. I'm being replaced by AI Jimmy. Like, AI Jimmy is, like you know, scouring the internet, watching too many games, like, you know. But I will say this. The Derby County game. And I know we talked before we rolled on this recording. You know, you talked about him being like, you know, at one point I was watching the highlights again and they said, oh, the 21 year old, one of the older players for Derby today. And I got me thinking about, and I may have told this story before, but these are young professionals and they're playing against, I believe, are they a conference team as well?
Yeah. So just to recap everybody, this is Derby County losing 2-0 to Chorley. Chorley FC, which, I mean, what a name, first of all, right?
But it's amazing. But when you look at the field, right, there's a few things that happened to me when I saw this. One, I got the nostalgia of playing in cup matches in Europe. And same thing with US Open Cup. You play in some like smaller stadiums away and teams come at you with things you've never seen before. There is a pace to them and an energy to them that I know it gets thrown around a lot, this sort of like cup final for every team when they go on these, but you could see the intensity of Chorley. Set pieces became a big thing. They're crashing everything in the box. And I don't know if you've ever played in, Jimmy, I'm sure you have, and obviously Luis, you have a men's league game in England. Like, there are people throwing their head where you wouldn't put your foot in men's league games and rec games. And you can see that sort of style of play when you play against some of these teams that some of these guys have full-time jobs, or most of them have full-time jobs, and they come in on the weekend and blow off some steam, but a lot of them can play. And if you go down and you do the research, you see a lot of these guys were in academy systems. They were young players, and you see the amount of talent that actually falls through the cracks from big academies down on. And it got me thinking about, and I'll tell a story real quick. When I played it, and I may have told you guys the Celtic story before. Have I told you guys that on this? Where I played in a cup game in Denmark. We were playing against a third division team. And I was playing against a guy who was in his late 20s, but was supposed to be the next whatever in Denmark. Didn't work out. You know, went a different route. Probably partied too much. But I ended up playing against him. It was on a really crappy pitch. And I wanted nothing to do with that day, that game. These guys were semi-pros. It was cold. The pitch was terrible. I was at a point and my ego got to me and I played terribly. And after the game, we ended up winning and, you know, just fighting it out and grinding it out, but they kept possession. They won every stat they could win. They won. We ended up just winning on the scoreline. And after the game, my coach named Morten Wieghorst, he just had just retired, come back from Celtic to Denmark and retired. And he was our head coach. And he pulled me aside and was like, "Hey, listen, if I had anybody else to put in that day, I would have taken you out at halftime." And he goes, "And I also want to let you know that Celtic were here today to make a decision on you."
Oh my God.
And the reason they came today is because anybody can play on a nice pitch against a good team, a good player. But most of the time, Celtic is going to play against scrappers. And they came here unannounced to see how you scrapped. And you were terrible. And I remember him saying, "They're not interested in you anymore." And this is a true story. And I remember thinking about it going like, wow, I took this game for granted. I came out with a little bit of an ego. I wanted to be rested for this. I didn't want to be out there. I was playing with mostly young players, playing against these otherwise pretty terrible players that were just working hard. And I had the one guy on my side that was supposed to be this talent, super pacey guy, was running me to the corner flag over and over and over again. And I'm talking about semi-professional players.
Yeah.
The semi-professional team. And I remember that learning lesson. And the reason I say this is I look back at these Derby kids that are all professionals and they should be able to close out against amateurs and semi-professional players. You should be able to have the ability and understanding of, and I think they will come out of this with a learning lesson. A lot of them might not get a look again for a long time in the first team. And the others might not, hopefully they learn from this and take it to their next games, knowing that every one of these games matters, because that was a learning lesson for me. And it wasn't until I lost something that I realized that every game like that has an importance, especially when you're a young player. I was 21 years old. Like a lot of those guys were on the field.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. And listen, by the way, surely they're in the National League North, which is the sixth tier of English football. So, you know, and then, you know, if you connect that to, you know, what Marine did against Tottenham, yeah, they lost 5-0, but we're talking about players in this squad who are part-time. Also, they're teachers, NHS workers, whatever. And to Jimmy's point, when he talked about Carlos Vinicius or whatever, he knows like any moment that he has to take it. Like it doesn't matter who you're facing in front of you. You just got to go for it. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why the FA Cup, especially the third round, is so important. Jimmy, any final thoughts from you before we conclude the FA Cup? Because it was exciting and it's always good. And, you know, especially in a COVID year when fans are so important, especially for lower division teams, it's always good to see that the tournament is still continuing.
No, I know there was a big online campaign about raising money for Marine in particular, and they sold 20,000 virtual FA Cup tickets for that. So that's
amazing.
That's very cool. And I want to hat tip to anybody that did that online. That's something special. And then Heath, what were you doing, dude? That was an amazing story. And you totally blew it. Your whole career sucks now.
You blew it.
I'm a Rangers fan now, just so you guys know. Lifelong Rangers fan. That's why it was. I saw that guy up there with the Celtic crest, and I was like, I'm not going there.
Oh my God.
Hey, but my Jamie Carragher also became the sponsor for that game as well. Yep. Their previous biggest crowd was 6,000. Their stadium holds 3,100 or something like that, and they sold 20,000. So not that makes up for any revenue and things like that, because it is really, really tough time for lower division teams. But, you know, point is always nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the FA Cup. But before I go, I have to salute Aston Villa, whose under 18 and under 23 team played Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp, who complains all the time about not being able to rotate his squad, plays Liverpool's pretty much starting 11. And it was 1-1 at halftime, thanks to the next Jack Grealish, Louis Barry. So listen to me. Anytime Klopp complains about rotating time, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He was playing 16, 17-year-olds, and he was like, oh my God, he brings on Thiago Alcantara at halftime because he's worried about our under 17s.
Hey, if this was like the 60s and this was the 60s radio, Luis would have just sold these people to think that they drew 1-1. He only gave us the halftime score. Didn't give us. Yeah. And they finished 1-1 at halftime. You know, the young guys really put in a full performance, but I'm with you. I agree with you, Luis.
That's what I tell people when we played Germany back in a friendly back at the Westfalenstadion. Hey, it was 0-0 at half. We played against Germany. Excellent game. You know,
hey, you know what? It was also 0-0. 2009 Gold Cup final was 0-0 at half. You know, we tied at halftime. I've tied Mexico and won twice. So
that's right.
We tied at halftime and Liverpool won 4-1. Anyway, moving. Stay right here. After another break, we'll be rounding up the rest of Europe, including La Liga and Serie A. Stay right here. Welcome back, everybody. Que golazo pod weekend recap. Heath Pierce, Jimmy Conrad. Let's now walk around, move around, travel around Europe. And let's talk about, well, very quickly, Mauricio Pochettino got his win with PSG against Brest. I mean, aside from the fact that Moise Keane is looking good, and of course, slowly but surely, at least Poche gets his first win. And then now moving to Italy, Serie A. Really, really tied once again. A few good results, including Roma Inter ending 2-2 in that one. Let's talk about that game and a few other storylines from Italy there, Jimmy Conrad, because you had your we had some betting tips on this one. How'd you do on that one?
That's a good question. I don't even have that sheet up. I just try to give you guys the bets and I just hope the best for you guys. But I'll take a look at that while Heath's talking at some point.
I think you said both teams would score. So I think that's definitely what happened.
I did. I want to say that I had the draw in Roma versus Inter because I didn't think anybody had the advantage. So I'll have to look that up so I can really sound smart once again, as I do. But that was a fantastic game, Roma versus Inter. I thought the draw was a fair result. I thought Paul Lopez and goal for Roma in particular made some huge saves, and they did enough. I mean, if you guys saw the last 10 minutes of that game, you would have thought Roma was dominating this whole thing. They had 10 shots in the last 10 minutes, finally found the equalizer to make it 2-2. Inter, very similar to some other clubs around the world, seem to, maybe even like Borussia Mönchengladbach-esque, or Bayern Munich a little bit too, where they just have these lapses in concentration. And right now they're getting punished for those lapses. And they're not finishing out games and not closing out games. So a big draw for them. Both of these teams now second and third. Milan, the other Milan team, AC Milan, did the business against Torino. Rafael Leao scored yet again. That player is unbelievable. What a player. Zlatan's on the bench. He's back into the team now. So that should give them a big boost. But now they're on top of the table by 3 points. It's great to see. Atalanta won again. No Papu Gomez, no problem. Another shout out to Gasperini, the manager. They've scored 7 goals in their last 2 games this past week. They're firing on all cylinders. And now they've moved up to fourth. So that'll be... It's crazy, crazy time in Serie A as well. I mean, that's as wide open as I think the Bundesliga is feeling at the moment. So I'm excited to see how the rest of this season plays out.
Yeah, and as we speak, by the way, Juventus is 1-0 against Sassuolo, who have 10 men after a red card. There's 30 minutes left in that one. So by the time you listen to this one, we'll see what the result is. But if Juventus are held against Sassuolo, then that is big news for the teams above them, including, of course, both Milan, Inter, etc. Heath, any talking points from Serie A? It's still tight. It's still good. It's still interesting as we, enter the middle of January.
Yeah, only that Inter and Juventus are playing soon on the 17th, which I think has huge implications. Again, the Juventus Sassuolo game has also big implications for Juventus, right? They have been the easiest storyline over the last decade or so in Serie A, and now find themselves 9 points back or around 9 points. I don't know the exact number, but if they're not able to get the 3 points today, that really does change things. And then, you know, the storyline stays consistent, which is Inter Milan and AC Milan are battling this out with almost the exact same records, other than Inter having 2 losses. And also important that AC Milan, after losing to Juventus, have bounced back in the way that they have by being able to sort of get back on pace with a 2-0 win over Torino. So, I think a lot of this is going to come down to Juventus of whether this is going to be a 2-horse race. Roma, I think, are in it. Atalanta, again, are back to scoring kind of in the ways that they had with Ilicic, Zapata, Muriel, all the usual suspects that were scoring a lot of goals before. But yeah, it's an overall exciting moment right now in Serie A that hopefully stays tight for us fans for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and as we carry on the season, it's very much like the Bundesliga and even the Premier League. You know, they're getting tight up there. Let's move to Spain because...
No, I got to jump in here because I'm looking at this Juve game. Weston McKennie got subbed out the 19th minute. Hopefully he's not hurt. I don't really know too much about it. And Sassuolo just scored. I know we're in the middle of this podcast, but I have to tell you it's 1-1 right now, which does change Juve's potential result in that one, which obviously can change the reflection of the table. But I did want to bring up the schedule just so everybody knows. Lazio plays Roma, which is a crazy derby, right? That's on Friday, and then Inter play Juve, And then you have Milan playing Atalanta over the next like 10 days. I mean, it's really going to be popping off in Serie A. I just wanted to shout it out. Let's talk about Spain, Luis.
No. I think it's a really good point, and I'm so glad you just did that, because, you know, and this is what, you know, the listeners are here for. Right now, apparently it's a muscular injury that Weston McKennie came off in the 18th minute. We still don't know the certainty of that. And Paulo Dybala also came out of injured as well. So this is not good for Juventus as they look to try and catch up to the teams above, but stay in tune, of course, with both Dybala and, of course, Weston McKennie. Hopefully the injury is not as serious. He did just walk it off. He didn't need a stretcher or anything like that. So, you know, we'll just have to stay on tune on that one. All right. Heath, were you about to say something?
Only that it's sad that we keep sending Americans to the clubs at the end of their dynasties. You know, we got guys at Barcelona. We got guys at Juventus, Bayern Munich. Come on, let's go. You know, like, we need guys going into these their best moments on the back end. You know, it's not good for us.
Yeah, it's such a shame. Hopefully that will change very soon. All right, let's move to Spain, La Liga. Let's go backwards here. Barcelona looking good. And Messi again looking good. Really good. And now they find themselves in third place. Any talking points from Barcelona before we discuss both teams from the capital? Heath, let's begin with you. Barcelona, you know, we talked about how, you know, we didn't know what they were about. Koeman was in trouble, obviously Messi wanting to leave, etc. And now they're in third place. They beat Granada 4-0. Messi looked very good. Griezmann is scoring. Can they catch up to both Real Madrid and Atleti?
Yeah, I think you have to start with, if you're putting Real Madrid in the title conversation, then you have to put Barcelona back in the title conversation. They're 3 points behind Real Madrid. Yeah. Currently in the way that it's shaping up, if Atletico's if they were to win against Sevilla on Tuesday, they would sort of be in a great position to, it's theirs to lose at that point. I think it puts them at, I think, 4 points and 2 games in hand, 4 points ahead and 2 games in hand. But if you're going to keep Real Madrid in that conversation as a legitimate title contender, there's no way that you can rule out Barcelona in the form that they're in. Obviously, Griezmann and Messi, 2 goals apiece. There's a form thing happening there. And I don't know, again, I thought we were at that point with Real Madrid where, okay, we see the Real Madrid that we're going to have. They're in form, but they've continued to drop points since I made that statement like three weeks ago. And so Barcelona actually look like they're trending in the same way. And again, it's week by week with them, but if they were to keep that form, they're going to put a ton of pressure on both Real Madrid and Atletico. And we may be seeing three teams come May that are competing in it, where every point actually does matter.
Yes, Zinedine Zidane, by the way, Real Madrid tied Osasuna, and Zinedine Zidane, listen, like, we played well. We just, like, what we had, what Osasuna did was basically just trying to Stoke City it up. Like, they were just trying not to play your game, and there were complications in terms of the weather and the traveling, the training, but whatever. They didn't get a win. 0-0, Jimmy Conrad. Atleti, obviously, at this point, have 3 games in hand, but Barcelona, third place. And to Heath's point, if you're going to talk about Madrid, I guess you now have to talk about Barcelona because they're in third.
Yeah, Messi's off to his second best start of a calendar year in his career. He's got four and 3 assists in his last 3 games. Absolutely just tearing it up. And a lot of people are noticing that he's smiling. There's a smile back on his face. Now, I don't know what that break did, or now that it's January, he's allowed to talk to other teams. Maybe he seems at peace. Whereas before he seemed like, and you can see it with normal people, people that you're close to, right? Or some people that you study a lot or just around. You can tell when they're stressed and you can tell when they're relaxed. And he all of a sudden comes out of this winter break. Wasn't a very long one, but he got one and he looks relaxed and he looks like he's enjoying himself. I don't know what that got unlocked for him behind the scenes. Maybe he's already agreed to terms somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know. I'm speculating here as we do here on this podcast, but he looks like he's having fun and that's making a big difference. Griezmann is playing well. Ousmane Dembele looks like a new signing. And when he's healthy, when you think about Griezmann, Messi and Dembele as your front three, that's pretty formidable. If all those guys are playing at their highest levels. And then you got Ansu Fati, who'll be at some point running back into health. Pedri looking good as well. Trincao is going to get his minutes. And then you got De Jong and, you know, pulling the string. I mean, it's all kind of starting to shape up. And even though they were under a lot of stress and criticism, as they should have been, given all the talent they have on their team, they're starting to find some good form. So, yeah, I think you have to put them into the title contenders. But I will say, I want to give a shout out to Sevilla. They're on 16 games. Madrid and Barcelona are on 18. They just beat Real Sociedad. What's going on with Sociedad? La Real, dude, they've won one out of their last 12. It's a complete free fall over there. We were just talking about how they maybe had a chance maybe, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they got no chance now.
And so, this is why the playoff system is better, Jimmy. You have something to play for all year, you know? Like, you know you're going to win the title.
Here we go.
Just take some games off and drift down to mid-table and enjoy yourselves. No stress. More time.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. But Sevilla, Julen Lopetegui rightfully got a new contract. You know, he's doing very well for them. They're into the, you know, the Champions League round of 16 against Borussia Dortmund. That's going to be a good two-legged affair. They're on 30 points. They're only 4 points behind Barcelona in third, but they have two games in hand. So I think Sevilla needs to be kind of thrown into the conversation as well, as maybe not title contenders, but at least going to be a pain in the butt for a lot of these clubs. And I don't think this is a sure thing for Atleti. They still have to go get those points. Just because you have games in hand doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to win anything. But the fact that they've only given up 6 goals in 15 games is next level. And that is Diego Simeone at his very best.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, that Sevilla Real Sociedad game was insane.
Sick.
Like, what was it like? 4 goals in the first 15 minutes. One of them was a great own goal by Diego Carlos. He like chipped him from like 25 yards out.
I wanted to say real quickly, for anybody listening, if Jimmy and I had been given a full season together at Chivas USA in 2011, you would have seen the same. Very similar goals against average.
But, I agree, 100%.
You know, but it wasn't to be. You know,
it wasn't to be. I was injured after 2 games. I had to retire. But
yeah,
but not if Celtic, that's true.
Not if Celtic scouts were watching, Heath.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, we would have been on the same team. I just would have been on the bench, and Jimmy would have been holding down the fort.
Oh my God! All right, this is probably a good place for. We have a question from our friends, our Madrid zone. A fan-based Real Madrid account, you know, asking about all the youth, all the youngsters that Real Madrid have. Obviously, I'm presuming that we're still talking, of course, about Vinicius Jr., who's only 20 years old, Rodrigo, who out of all the youngsters that Real Madrid have, who do you think are you looking for to have the brightest future? I mean, Martin Odegaard is still only 22. I know that we know a lot about him, but he is only 22.
That's crazy, man.
That's insane. So any of them come to mind? Let's start with you, Jimmy. Anybody Real Madrid from the young perspective? You know, it's also a good question because this Real Madrid side is not getting any younger.
I think for me, I guess it depends on where we cut the age, right? Is it under 23? Maybe I'll just use that as...
let's use that.
As a standard. I think Fede Valverde will probably be the most valuable player for them moving forward. I think he is... gained a lot of experience already. He's playing with and, you know, in next to some of the best players in the world. I think he's going to learn a ton from Casemiro, who's got a lot of mileage on his legs, Toni Kroos, Luka Modric. I think Fede Valverde is going to probably be the most important of the younger players. Will he be the one that scores the goals and all that? Probably not. But in terms of what he brings to the table and how much ground he's going to cover for many years, I think he'll be the most valuable. There is something to be said about Rodrigo and Vinicius Jr. I feel like they have something special. Though it doesn't seem like the players like playing with Vinicius Jr. He seems to be very a bit of a ball hog, I think. He's like that one player you have on your men's league team. You're like, God, maybe we can just not play with him this week, because I think we'd all enjoy the experience a little bit more. And I think that just comes with age. You know, you mature a little bit. You start to get a little bit more responsibility. And I'm hopeful that that's what will happen for him. But that's a sense I get when
20.
I watch I know, I understand,
he's
I get it.
So but young.
So for me, my vote would be Fede Valverde. I think Militao, potentially, he's only 22 as a center back. You know, you start to come in your own around 26, 27 in that position. He's got Varane and Ramos to learn from and to play next to. So maybe Militao. I think he has a lot of, I don't think we're anywhere close to his ceiling.
Yeah, how about you, Heath? I mean, we also, Kubo as well, right? He's young. He's on loan right now, or did he come back? He went somewhere else, I feel, Kubo. But he's also another one. Any youngsters from Real Madrid, Heath, that you feel?
Yeah,
I'm still trying to get over the fact Odegaard is still so young. I feel like he's 31. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say Vinicius Jr., right? When you go back to when he came in, he was sort of supposed to be the ball hog. He was supposed to be the Neymar. But when you don't have when the final product isn't there consistently, you're just the ball hog, right? Like, you're just the one that slows the game down in the same way that I look at Pogba, when Pogba plays fast, he's great. When Pogba slows the whole game down, then you're like, okay, then I need magic from you every single game. And when you have somebody that has that, the ball, that can really change the flow, they can change the speed of the game when things are good, but they can really kill the momentum and the fluidity of a team. That's one that I want to see that again at that age, that consistency has to come where you need that every single game. You need to be pulling 2-3 defenders over every time you get a ball, because if they don't, you can punish them. And then obviously Rodrigo as well. I think those are the two predictable ones, but those are the ones that I'd like to see for the next gen Real Madrid. As you start to look, you know, comparative, and I know that this came from a Real Madrid fan base, but when you look at Ousmane Dembele and that lack of consistency there too, whether injuries or otherwise, you really want somebody to be that next one, because Real Madrid have actually been able to decently transition off of Ronaldo in a way that I think Barcelona will struggle to for a long time. But somebody's going to have to step up and consistently be the star, because Real Madrid is built around stars. They're real, the Galacticos, right? They're built around big players delivering, and those guys need to be able to do that. Again, age is an issue, and I don't even want to say 23, 24, because the game is much younger now. Those players have to be 21, 22, and comfortable with being under that type of microscope.
Yeah. No, good points. I'll just throw my hat. You know, Reinier Jesus is the player that came from Flamengo to Real Madrid, 18 years old. He's on loan at Borussia Dortmund for 2 years. He's got a few muscle injury problems, like stop-start kind of situation since he moved to Europe. That's one to watch out for, I think. But all those players that you just mentioned, I mean, Valverde is a starter for Uruguay already. Like, he's just like ridiculous. But I think it's a good point. And by the way, a few years ago, Real Madrid changed its sort of galactical philosophy, really tried to implement more sort of players based in La Liga, et cetera. But to Heath's point, I think they need to remember where their personality and their sort of reputation comes from. All right. That's it, everybody.
Can I say really quick, though, that Ashraf Hakimi, who scored an absolute banger for Inter Milan, is only 21 years old, and he was with Real Madrid, and they sold him to Inter, and they loaned him out to Borussia Dortmund. Like, that's a big mistake, I think. If we're going to talk about young players they're missing out on, I don't understand that, and I want somebody to write a book or write a serious article about why they thought it was a good idea to let go of Hakimi. That's all I wanted to throw out there. Thanks.
Raheem Diaz too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say also
Sergio Reguilón.
Yeah. The swag on Hakimi and the confidence when in that game he had a cutback to I'm blanking on Inter Milan's Lukaku.
Martinez.
Sorry, no, Lukaku. Yeah. He had a cutback that he decided to take the shot instead, and Lukaku screaming at him and whatever. And then the next time got the ball, lined it up, and banged it. Like, that's the kind of player, that's that Dani Alves type of confidence where you just go, wow, okay. Like, you know, when you land it, what are you going to say? And there was, and like you said, Luis, there was that transition a while back where they transitioned away from being the big stars. And actually, we're having a lot of young players come through the team. And that's when the conversation started shifting, saying, hey, La Masia is actually dead. Those players aren't going to Barcelona anymore. But Real Madrid is picking up all of the young players and bringing them through their system. So some of them have to come to fruition, because a lot of them, like you just mentioned, haven't yet.
Yeah. Well, we will see what happens with Madrid, especially as the market continues to fluctuate, et cetera. And of course, Zidane, if he stays, if he goes, we will see. All right. Parting shots from both of you as we say goodbye on this beautiful Sunday. By the way, let's get an update on this Juventus game as we're talking. Let's see.
Yeah,
here.
It's 1-1 still, I think.
With just over 10 minutes to go, still 1-0. Hey, listen, if they drop points, it's still a big problem as they still trail AC Milan by a pretty wide gap. But any final points here? Let's begin with you, Jimmy. Anything to say goodbye to?
No, I just want to let everybody know that these leagues are all popping off. There are a lot of big games coming up. I know that Liverpool and Manchester United are facing off, Inter Juventus, Yeah, let's all hang out together and maybe watch these games, at least on the social medias, and I'll see you guys there. Thanks for having me.
I'm with you. Thank you, Jimmy. Heath, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, watch the Eredivisie. That's popping off too. Ajax were down 2-0 to PSV Eindhoven. Daniel Malen had two assists for PSV. He's one of the guys in the golden boot chase for Europa League for PSV Eindhoven. Ajax were able to pull level and finish 2-2. Ajax are on top of the table, I think, by 1 point, but there's 3 points between them. Ajax, PSV Eindhoven, and Feyenoord, or F-word, if you're an Ajax fan, is what they call them. It's another great league. A lot of young stars. If you're into young players and players coming through the systems, not necessarily Americans, but global young superstars, it's definitely a league worth watching and paying attention to as this title race heats up.
I love it. I love it. Great job there adding the PSV Ajax game. All right, everybody. That's it from us. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Heath.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, boys. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce for joining me today. Don't forget that you can follow us on Twitter on Que Golazo Pod. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And guess what? Your smart speakers, too. You can just say, Alexa, play the latest episode of CBS Soccer Podcast. Or, hey, Google, play the latest episode of CBS Soccer Podcast. And it will take you right there. So you have plenty of opportunities to listen to us and watch us on YouTube. Thank you so much and have a great beginning to your week. See you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.